भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
Hare Krishna. So we are discussing a very important and exciting chapter now. I think all of you should give this class and I should sit and listen. I have no preaching experience. I only speak Shastra to people who already come. I don't go to people and then speak. Still, whatever Prabhupada has written in these purports, we can certainly discuss the principles. So this is a very exciting and instructive chapter that gives several principles in connecting people to Krishna consciousness. So that's first half. And second half is how dangerous is Vaishnava Parad and how glorious is a Vaishnava. So all these principles we can see probably in this next 1.5 hours. We'll try to complete the first part of this chapter. The next part we'll do in the evening. First verse. Sri Shuka Uvacha.
Sri Shuka Uvacha.
Tasyam Sapancha Janyam Vai.
Tasyam Sapancha Janyam Vai.
Haryashva Sang Vishnu Mayopa Brahmitaha.
Vishnu Mayopa Brahmitaha.
Haryashva Sangyam Ayutam. Putran Ajanayat Vibhuhu.
Shri Shukadeva Goswami continued, impelled by the illusory energy of Lord Vishnu, Prajapati Daksha begot 10,000 sons in the womb of Panchajani, Asikni. My dear king, these sons were called Haryashvas.
So, in the previous sessions you have seen how Daksha, his second birth, became the son of Prachetas and Marisha, and he performed austerities for around 3 manvantaras. He chanted Hamsa Guhya prayers and the Lord came in front of him and Lord said, I am pleased with your endeavor to fulfill my desire. What was Lord's desire? To populate this universe. Why Lord wants to populate this universe? Because he wanted to give another chance to the conditioned souls to go back to Godhead. So in that sense, Daksha service is a very important service. By creating progeny, he is bringing more souls active, and so that they can pursue their fruitive activities, right? And simultaneously also get an opportunity to perfect their lives by rendering devotional service also. So he said, accept Asikni, daughter of Panchajana Prajapati, and increase population. And your children, your hundreds and thousands of children also will be captivated by my Maya, and they will also have sex. So in this verse, Prabhupada is saying, Shukadeva Goswami is saying, Vishnu Mayopa Brahmitaha, being impelled by Vishnu Maya, Daksha begot 10,000 sons. They are Haryashvas. Together they are called Haryashvas. And his next set of sons are called Shavalashvas. And Pandu's sons, 5 of them called Pandavas. Prachena were his sons, 10 of them are together called Prachetas. And the sons of Yajna and Dakshina, 12 of them, they are called, towards the end of his chapter, Tushitas. They are the demigods in the first Manvantara. You remember? 4th kind of first chapter. Yajna and Dakshina are the children of Akuti and Ruchi. So Putrika Dharma, all the discussion we had. So these people are called Haryashvas. Next, Apritak Dharma Shilaste.
Sarve
Dakshayana Nripa. प्रोक्ता प्रजा सर्गे प्रतीचिं प्रययुर्दिशम्।
Now dear king, all the sons of Prajapati Raksha were alike in being very gentle and obedient to the orders of their father. When their father ordered them to beget children, they all went in the western direction.
So father's order is, you go and beget children. And these people went to do some austerities in some forest. So what is the connection? Why this kind of incompatibility? Is it incompatibility at all? Anyone wants to guess? Let's have some discussion this time, because I want to learn more from you than speaking what is there in the book. So why at all there is a need to go to Narayana Saras? In the next verse it is said, we'll read that also.
Tatra Narayana Sara
Tirtham Sindhu Samudrayoh Sangamo Yatra Samahan Muni Siddhani Shevitam.
In the west, where the river Sindhu meets the sea, there is a great place of pilgrimage known as Narayan Saras. Many sages and others advanced in spiritual consciousness live there.
So why they went to Narayan Saras to do some austerities when their father actually told them, you create progeny? Why they can't they? The power of austerity, whatever we do will become very wonderful. That's fine, but why? Why they went for austerity before entering household life? That's the point. If father went, sons also went, their sons also will go if they at all produce some children. But they didn't do that. From austerities they went to lifelong austerities. So in the Vedic system, before entering household life, this austerity, performing austerity, is a very important element. We see this kind of examples in several episodes in Bhagavatam. Now Hariyashvas, next Savalashvas, and before that you just said Daksha, and Prachinabari, his sons, Prachetas, did that austerity. Then Brahmaji told Kardamamuni, you create progeny. Then Kardamamuni did not immediately search for a girl. He did 10,000 years of austerity and then he got into married life. Right? So in the Vedic system, grihastha life is led like an ideal household responsibility. It's not, creating progeny does not mean passionately creating progeny. It's not passion. It's a service. Creating progeny is seen as a great service. So by performing austerities, one will equip themselves with the right consciousness to render that service. Because engaging in sex life means, it's sense gratification, of course. No one has to be told about it. How engaging in sex life is sense gratification, no one has to be convinced. Everyone knows creating progeny involves sex life, and sex life means sense gratification. And once you engage sense gratification under instruction, they are being a bona fide service. And that engagement in sense gratification becomes a authorized service. And in the name of that authorization, they may continue in that activity. They may not be satiated only. But if someone has a background of performing austerities, he will not engage in sex life in an unrestricted way. He does it in the mode of service, in a controlled way, as much as possible. Right? So that is the purpose of austerity. And by performing austerity, one will purify one's body, mind and consciousness. And with that purified existence, if one does that kind of passionate service, he will be able to do that service in a right way. Otherwise, there is every scope of getting deviated while doing that service. Just like someone is told to do surgery, a doctor is doing surgery, so he first has to equip himself with proper mask and this and that, otherwise he may also catch some infection, right? You go to some place where, you know, four or five, Savasthan, For some malaria patients are sleeping there. One doctor goes to give some injection. And he may also catch some malaria. Malaria or whatever may be the disease, I don't know much technical details of the diseases. So, he may also catch some infection. He has to protect himself. He has to wear gloves before touching some infected part, bodily part of a person. So, when you understand that this service must be performed, however, there is some risk in performing this service, so I should protect myself. I should equip myself with the right consciousness and whatever is needed to do that service in a right way. So, there is no question of avoiding the service, but if you foresee that there is something there, then you should definitely take care of it. You go to pluck roses. It's a wonderful service, it's a bona fide service, but you should be careful about the thorns. So this austerity will make them engage in household life and affairs in a restricted, controlled manner. Their mind will be controlled. Their activity will be with service attitude, not in a sense gratifying attitude. So this is a constant theme in Bhagavatam. You can read Bhurijan Prabhu's Unveiling Lotus Feet also. Somewhere in Prachetas episode or some other episode he will... definitely he didn't write for 6th canto. It must be in Prachetas episode only, correct. In Prachetas episode he will write, what is the need for this kind of austerity in before entering household life. Many times it's little surprising. These people will go to do some training outside. They will go to the forest. One verse is, father instructed them to create progeny. Next verse is, they went and did austerities. What is this? It's quite surprising sometimes. Now, 4th and 5th verses.
Tadupasranadeva Sparshanadeva Vinirdhutamalashayaha Dharme Paramahamsyecha Prottannamatayopyuta Tepire Tata Evogram Pitra Deshena Yantritaha Prajavivruddhaye Yattan Devarshistan Dadarshaha. In that holy place, the Harishwas began regularly touching the lake's waters and bathing in them, gradually becoming very much purified. They became inclined towards the activities of Paramhamsas. Nonetheless, because their father had ordered them to increase the population, they performed severe austerities to fulfill his desires. One day, when the great sage Narad saw these boys performing such fine austerities to increase the population, Narad approached them.
So they went to the holy place Narayan Saras, they touched the water, they were purified. So Narada Muni happened to see these boys. So Narada Muni saw that these Harishvas, sons of Daksha, were already very purified because of living in a holy place and they have good culture. They were practically ready for liberation. So why then they should be entangled in family life, which is so dark that once having entered it, one cannot leave it? So Narada Muni considered it that way. So there are different ways in which at different times different perspectives of certain things are emphasized. So here Prabhupada is bringing out that point that in family life there is a lot of entanglement. It is very dark. That once having entered it, one cannot leave it. So I am just to connect this verse and the next verse, I am reading from the purport of the next verse. So first few lines of the next purport. So Prabhupada highlighted that aspect. And in several other purports, Prabhupada also mentions the glories of how Krishna conscious household life, compatible marriages and all. So both are correct. Right, both angles are correct. Now you see this phone or this glass, now you see this bottle from that side, that Prabhu will see this angle of it. From my side I see this. If someone sits here, he will see this handle part and he will mention that part, and you mention this part, and I mention this part. In our description of this object, all are correct. Right? And top view also, that is also correct. So different perspectives of the same object are highlighted. So we need to reconcile all of them together to get a complete understanding. So in certain context, certain perspective needs to be highlighted. So Narada Muni is considering the other side of grihastha life, right? One side of grihastha life is, it is like a dark well. Even in Priyavrata's case also, Priyavrato Bhagavata Atma Ramaha Katham Muni Grihe Aramata Yanmolaha Karma Bandha Parabhavaha. So griha, household life is parabhava. It's a great defeat for a human being to be engaged in household life. Karma Bandha, it is the root cause of fruitive bondage. Then he is Bhagavata Atparama, he is such a great devotee, why should he enter the household life? That's how Parikshit Maharaj presented it, right? So we need to balance these kind of statements with other statements also, right? So definitely in the renounced order one has a better opportunity to practice, better facilities given. Different ashrams will come along with different facilities, right? So in grihastha ashram there is a facility. The facility is that one has an opportunity to fulfill his sense gratificatory needs, however in a regulated way, as prescribed by the scriptures, as directed by spiritual mentors, right? That kind of opportunity is there. At the same time they can cultivate spiritual consciousness also. In brahmacharya ashram it's like a renounced order, sannyasi. So it's like complete focus with absolutely no touch with opposite sex. If one can handle this ashram, so he is welcome here. If one cannot handle that kind of thing, he also needs some kind of sense enjoyment, he needs some space. So that is also fine. So ultimately Krishna does not see whether he is a brahmacharya or grihastha. How sincere is he in his devotional service? That is his main point. Right? So the complete understanding we will get from taking different purports that Prabhupada highlights. In the case of Vidura visiting Hastinapur, Prabhupada writes that Vidura was a renunciant. He was travelling to various pilgrimage places, and Pandavas were palace residents. They were enjoying all royal opulence. But both are very exalted devotees, great devotees. So why they both are great if they are engaged in a different way? One seems to be highly detached, other person seems to be highly enjoying opulences, right? So Prabhupada says both are wrapped in thought of Krishna. The wrappedness in thought of Krishna is what Krishna is looking for. Where are you wrapped in the thought? That depends on specific circumstances and people's nature and whatever Krishna wants them to do. Right, so being wrapped in thought is most important. So here in the case of Hariyashvas, Narada Muni thought they are already very nice young boys, why should they unnecessarily get into household life and get into different materialistic responsibilities, political responsibilities as managers of kingdom, as caretakers of family, etc. I think they can directly enter renounced order of life. And even in the Vedic days, even if someone enters grihastha ashram also, he has a complete understanding that I am not going to live like a householder for the rest of my life. I will enter household life for specific amount of time. I will create progeny and I will train these my children and I will equip them with the necessary skills and talents and empowerment, so that they can take care of the kingdom and continue the legacy nicely, and I will retire. Their retirement plan is already pre-decided before they enter marriage only. How did that happen? Because of proper training. Because they are trained in austerities before entering married life, so they can have that kind of thoughts, glorious thoughts of retirement plan. Kardava Muni, before entering married life, he said, yes, I will marry Devahuti, but once she has some children, I will go to full-time renounced life. And wife also has no issues, because she is also trained nicely in Vedic culture, right? She is trained that, oh, now we are unmarried, we should be under our protection, so So parents will say like that. After marriage, you should be under the protection of a proper husband and serve him nicely. And after your husband retires, you should be under the protection of an able son. So that kind of training is there for the woman also, and brahmacharya training is there for boys also. When they come together, that's a proper proper household life, right? Which is not centered around sense gratification, but it is centered around spiritual cultivation of spiritual consciousness, right? So that's why this training is needed. So Narada Muni thought that they need not unnecessarily take the endeavor of entering household life anymore. So he comes and speaks an allegorical story. This allegory has 10 points, 10 aspects. Narada Muni does not explain. When he spoke allegorical story to Prachinabhar, he explained it for 5 chapters. After 5 chapters of allegory, he did not understand. He gave another short allegory. Still that fellow did not understand. Then he directly spoke transmigration of soul and all. So to discuss that episode of Prachinabhar, he will spend 7-8 classes or 10 classes. But this one class is sufficient. Narada Muni just spoke this allegory that has 10 points, right? Hardly 3 verses, 4 verses. Let's see.
Uvachachatha Haryashvaha Katham Srakshyata Vaiprajaha Adrishtvantam Bhuvo Yuyam Balishabata Palakaha Tathaika Purusham Rashtram Balim Chadrishta Nirgamam Bahurupam Striyam Chapi Pumamsham Pumshalipatim Nadim Ubhayato Vaham Pancha Panchabhutam Graham Kvachidhamsham Chitrakatham Kshaura Parvyam Swayam Brahmi.
Translation. The great sage Narada said, "My dear Harishwas, you have not seen the extremities of the earth. There is a kingdom where only one man lives, and where there is a hole from which having entered, no one emerges. A woman there who is extremely unchaste adorns herself with various attractive dresses, and the man who lives there is her husband. In that kingdom, there is a river flowing in both directions, a wonderful home made of 25 materials, a swan that vibrates various sounds, and an automatically revolving object made of sharp razors and thunderbolts. You have not seen all this, and therefore you are inexperienced boys without advanced knowledge. How then will you create progeny?"
So this is a big allegory. So before entering the allegory, we will see how, why this allegory. So a preacher's approach may vary according to the audience. So here Narada Muni is meeting intellectual audience. So when Narada Muni spoke to Prachinabharhi, so he is quite dull compared to Haryashvas and Chavalashvas. So Narada Muni had to spend a lot of time directly speaking to him. Dhruva Maharaj, he tested his determination. He's a small boy, right? Oh, you should be playing. Why are you so unnecessarily bothered about insult and praise? That should not make any difference. In your case, you are a small child, you should go and play. Then Dhruva Maharaj said, no, my stepmother hurt me, right? I cannot forgive. I need a position which is superior to my fathers and grandfathers and great-grandfathers also. Then Narada Muni says, oh, if you are so mature that you can understand the difference between insult and honor, you should be mature enough to understand that they are temporary also. Right? They are temporary. So you should not take them very seriously. They will come and go. You go and do your things. But he is very determined. So then he gave him a combination of little Ashtanga Yoga, little deity worship, little mantra meditation. So all that he made something and then gave him, explained the Lord's form. So that's how he connected Dhruva Maharaj. In case of Kayadu, he was speaking and then she was sleeping. Then still Prahlad Maharaj was hearing. So she got a different training. Prahlad Maharaj got a different training from Narada Muni right from the womb only. When Prachetas, he spoke directly about devotional service. Directly. Without bhakti, everything else is useless. So So there are so many, there is a big series of verses in 4th canto, 31st chapter. So like that, Narada Muni is presenting same medicine, bhakti, but with different coatings, right? So medicine is same. Sometimes some medicines you have to make kada and make that one glass water into 1/4 glass and put it in a jali and then get the essence and drink it. So that is one medicine. Some other medicine is just put a tablet, done. Some other injection, some other medicine. So like that, same medicine could be injected in different ways into the body of a person, depending on what he can handle, right? Depending on what is his actual case. Sometimes tablet may not work, so they have to directly give an injection directly into the veins. So that's what he did there in Prachinabarhi's case. And because Hariyashwats and Shavaleshwats are very intelligent people, generally intelligent people don't like to be told directly, "Aisa karna chahiye." So that they feel offended. You give them some clue, let them figure out what is good, and they will come up with something very good. So in allocating services also, with some people we don't have to do micromanagement. We don't have to do any management only. Just give him the instruction, give him the facility, then he will execute, come up with flying colors. Some people, you give him, explain him in great detail and what to do, what not, still they will goof up something, right? See, different people have different levels of intelligence, so they need to be dealt with in different ways. Not everybody is of the same caliber. So Hariyashwas, there are 10,000 in number. Narada Muni spoke this one allegory, which is just 3-4 verses long, 6, 7, 8, bas. Only 3 verses he spoke and he left. So in 3 verses there are 10 allegorical points. Each point is very mystical. Now we will go through that. To figure out the meaning of each point and get the exact essence, what is the inner meaning of this? Now this would mean this, and ultimately what does it mean? Right? So all the 10,000 people individually contemplated on the 10 points of allegory, and all of them came to the same conclusion. Kim asat karma bhir bhavet? What is the use of engaging ourselves in insubstantial fruitive activities? Better perform devotional service. This is their common conclusion. 10,000 intellectuals coming to the same conclusion is also not a small thing. That needs blessings. Narada Muni, along with speaking this allegorical story, he gave them his blessings. So he has glanced his merciful glances upon these children, upon these young boys. So that blessings of a devotee, those glances, that mercy and their instruction will eventually make a person's consciousness equipped with the ability to accept full-time devotional service. Right, without any deviation. So later Daksha will blame Narada Muni, "You have corrupted the brains of my immature boys. You should not inspire other people to change their dresses just like you have done. Just by changing the color of one's cloth, one cannot become a renunciant." So like that, very heavily he chastised. Prabhupada counters every argument of Daksha in his purports. We will see that also. Every argument of Daksha is thoroughly smashed by Prabhupada in his purports. He says Daksha doesn't know this higher principle. With the blessings of a Vaishnava, everything is possible. So Narada Muni did not just tell them an allegorical story and leave like that. He did not force renunciation upon them. He inspired knowledge in them. He bestowed detachment in them. So he did not do any brainwashing. He did not force people, right? He did not do something like conversion, right? You do. Prabhupada writes in Chaitanya Charitamrita purports. Earlier, Muslims used to convert Hindus into Muslims, like just throw some water on them, they will become Muslims, right? Now also, so many converted Christians are there, so they will take the people and put them in some water and do some whatever, prayer, whatever, they will become Christians. From now on, baptization. I don't know the technical details, but in Andhra there are so many such converted people. You go for one visit, you find couple of churches there. After couple of years you go, there are more churches. Right? From my childhood till now, I was born in Andhra, childhood till now, the number of churches have been increased a lot in the place, locality where I am staying only. I used to stay. So like that, it's not about conversion, it is about inspiration. It's like invoking the innate love and service attitude in other soul so that they can get reconnected with Krishna. So that's what Narada Muni has done through this allegorical story. So Prabhupada writes, the purpose of Narada's allegory, to make them consider why they should follow their father's order to be entangled in family life. To find within the course of their hearts the situation of super soul. To get them to divert their attention towards spiritual realization instead of involving themselves in ordinary but complicated affairs of propagation. Ordinary affairs. Creating progeny means what? Just engage in sex life and children will come and then allow them to go through the same learning A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, and then they will wear clothes, they will go to school. So it's regular routine activities. Right? Ordinary but complicated affairs of propagation, purposes. Ordinary but complicated. So tat sadhumanye asuravarya dehinam sada samudvigna dhyam asadgrahat hitvatma patam grahamandhakupam vanam gatoya dharimashrayeta. So what I consider good, this is a verse spoken by Prahlad Maharaj to Hiranyakashipu. He called and said, my dear child, what did you learn in your school? Very simple question I am asking, please tell me. So like that he says, so he did not expect anything practical, he just expected something sweet. So a small 5-year-old child, what he will speak. But whatever he speaks is little, is sweet only. But Prahlad Maharaj dropped a bomb only. He said, tat sadhumanye asuravarya, for dehis who are sada samudvigna dhyam asadgrahat, who are completely absorbed in the complicated, ordinary affairs of household life, which are like asat. Asat grahat means, asat also means this crocodile. So someone who is so absorbed in materialistic household affairs is as good as a person who is caught by crocodile's jaws. That's what asat grahat means. So better give up that kind of activity. Hitva atmapatam gruham andhakupam. Atmapatam means that which degrades the soul. Andhakupam means a dark well. So materialistic household life is compared like that. And do what? Vanam gatoya dharimashrayeta. Enter Vrindavan and take shelter of Lord Hari. So this is what he said. So Prabhupada quotes all these verses. To be free from anxiety, one should immediately leave family life and take shelter of Lord in Vrindavan. So now we have two options. Either we go through the 10 points of the allegory once and then elaborately discuss them, or we'll go one by one. One allegorical point we'll see, discuss all the purports about it, and then go to the next point. Or just visit in 5 minutes all the 10 points, what do they mean, and then go into details. I give this option to all batches. Consistently all the batches chose one only so far. Let me see what you want to do. One by one. Okay. How many are one by one? How many want a quick understanding of the full all allegory and then go into details? So what to do? Rati will do. You, whatever you say, I will do. Yeah. So you don't want to remove the suspense. Okay. Fine. Okay, we'll do a combination. First 5 we will go quick overview and then go into details. Next 5 we'll go one by one. We have come. First time we are doing like this. Go there, go to next slide. Yeah, this is done. Next. This also we discuss. Next. Next, go fast. Okay. So this is allegory. This is not revealing anything. This is just translation put there. Adrishtavantam bhuvo. You have not seen the extremities of earth. First point. Second point is Tathaika Purusham Rashtram. There is one male king in the kingdom. Rashtram is universe. Rashtram is kingdom, that is the universe. And Purusham is a male, that is king. Third, Bilam cha adrishta nirgamam. Bilam is hole. So there is a hole. What is the nature of that hole? Once you enter that hole, you cannot come out of the hole. Fourth, Bahurupam, Bahurupam Striyam. There is one stri, one lady, who is Bahurupam. She keeps on changing her forms. Basically, she is a prostitute. Right? Next, Pumsam Pumsalipatim. Pumamsam Pumsalipatim. Pumsali here is that unchaste lady. His pati, her pati is this prostitute's husband, this Purusha. Then Nadim Ubhayato Vaham. There is Nadi, a river, that flows in two directions. Generally, a river will flow in one direction towards the ocean. But this Nadi flows in both directions. How it happens only, that's an allegorical point. It's in a metaphorical way. Next, Pancha Panchadhatam Graham. Graham is house. Pancha Pancha means 5 into 5, 25. So a house is made of 25 wonderful elements. Next, Hamsam Chitra Katham. There is one swan that can speak in wonderful ways. So that is speaking swan. Ninth is Kshaura Parvyam Swayam Brahmi. There is a revolving object of sharp razors. Last point, Swapitur Adesham Avidvamso. You have not understood your father's actual order. Swapitur, your father, Adesham, Avidvansu. Avidvan means you did not have a proper understanding of that. So these are the 10 allegorical points. So what do they mean? We will see. First five we will see. Go there. Okay, this is same thing in a different format. Next. They're like one by one. Not seen the extremities of earth means field of activities, that is material body. So you have not seen the extremities of material body means how, what exactly are the limits of this material body, how exactly it functions, what is the beginning and what is the end, how long it will stay. So basically you have not understood the concept of an embodied being completely. So that is the point. Next, one male king in the kingdom of the universe, that is Supreme Personality of Godhead. The kingdom is the universe and the Purusha is the Supreme Lord, Krishna. Next, read. So that Bila means a hole, that once you enter the hole, you cannot come out of the hole. Right? What is that hole? That could refer to Vaikuntha or Patala. Once you enter the lower planetary systems where people of degraded consciousness stay, it's very difficult to come out from there. So that is its purport when it is referring to Patala. Or once you go to the spiritual planet, spiritual world, Vaikuntha or Goloka, you need not come from there. Right? So that is the highest destination one can achieve. This is the lowest destination one can achieve. So both are compared to holes. Holes, having once entered, one cannot come out. So unchaste prostitute refers to one's unsteady or polluted intelligence. Right? Intelligence which is not focused on Krishna, but it is just going all over the place, is considered like a prostitute. Mind also sometimes is compared like that, prostitute mind. And who is that prostitute's husband? Jiva, who loses all intelligence. Right? So now you go to the next slide. Switch off the slideshow mode. Next. 11th verse we will read. 9th translation someone can read.
Alas, your father is omniscient, that you do not know his actual order. Without knowing the actual purpose of your father, how will you create a progeny?
This is actually the 10th point of the allegory. Next.
So Sukadeva Goswami said, hearing these enigmatic words of Narad Muni, The Harishwas considered themselves with their natural intelligence without help from others.
So with their natural intelligence without help. So they did not take this allegorical story. For example, you are given open book exam question in your exam, in your Vidyapeeth test. So to get an answer, sometimes we have seen students going to different other devotees and they are, how to tackle this question like that. But Hariyashas did not consult anyone. With their natural intelligence, they tried to figure out the meaning of this allegory and they all came to the right conclusion. So 11th verse is a description of the first allegorical point.
Bhukshetram jiva samyamyad.
Bhukshetram jiva samyamyad.
Anadi nija bandhanam.
Anadi nija bandhanam.
Adrishtvatasya nirvanam.
Adrishtvatasya nirvanam.
Kima satkarma bhirbhavet.
This word kima satkarma bhirbhavet, this line is repeated throughout the verses. Read the translation.
The Harishwas understood the meaning of Narada's words as follows. The earth refers to the field of activities. The material body, which is a result of the living being's actions, is his field of activities, and it gives him false designations. Since time immemorial, he has received various types of material bodies, which are the roots of bondage to the material world. If one foolishly engages in temporary fruitive activities and does not look towards the cessation of this bondage, what will be the benefit of his action?
So the allegorical point from the verse and Harishwas' understanding and their conclusion, which is a like a combination of understanding given by Vishnu Chakravarti and Prabhupada, that's there in the Bhagavad Subodhani table. You can refer to that for a quick glance. So we will go to the details of the purport. So here Prabhupada is saying that field of activities is actually the material body. So all the living entities encased in body, we can open all the purport points. So this body is basically encasement, not engagement. Encasement means you enter a case and get locked inside, and that is called encasement. So the duty of a human being is to act in such a way that he comes out of this encasement by stopping his material engagement. So the duty of Krishna consciousness movement, Prabhupada says, that it is to enlighten the humanity to actually accomplish what is mentioned in the second point, to come out of the encasement. So the duty of a preacher is to enlighten the conditioned soul in such a way that he is inspired to come out of this cage of material body, the cage of material home, the cage of material relationships, the cage of material existence, and goes like a free bird into the unlimited sky of the spiritual planets. Right? So that is the point. So here Narada Muni apparently did not give any sufficient explanation to Harishwas, because he found them very intelligent who can figure out. So it all depends on the intention of the preacher. If his intention is correct, he will definitely be equipped with the right intelligence to inspire people to take up to Krishna consciousness. What exactly is the way to inspire a person to take up to Krishna consciousness will vary from one person to another person, one group to another group, one geographical location to another geographical location. It keeps on varying. But Krishna gives that empowerment to the preacher. Right? So here he did not tell them what they have to do directly. You worship Krishna, you perform bhakti. None of these words are there in the allegory. But he gave them sufficient hints to figure out what is the right thing to do. So that much Narada Muni has done. So sometimes instruction or preaching seems direct, sometimes it seems indirect. So both are valid. We just need to know what will work, in which context, in which person's case. Right? Some people like to give donations. Right? They like to have a sense of contribution. Okay, I have contributed something to this temple or to this project. So such people can be asked a donation. But some other people are there, they will be completely put off. If you ask them donation, these sadhus will come only to take money from us, so like that. So there you can just give Krishna consciousness, but we cannot ask any donation, we should not ask. That's not the proper thing. So ultimately the intention of the preacher is to connect them, to reconnect them with Krishna. So how exactly that intention manifests in terms of details is totally subjective. Here Narada Muni is taking a different way only. He just spoke 10 allegorical points. Nowhere in Bhagavatam you will see. When Narada Muni is preaching to someone, he does not speak anything about bhakti. The word Krishna doesn't come. The word bhakti doesn't come. Nothing is coming. Only Pumshali, Patim, Purusham, Rashtram, Vilam. So only these things. Totally. What kind of katha is this? In a katha you just speak these 10 allegorical points, then the katha is closed. And whoever has heard the katha became pure devotees. That's even more wonderful, right? So we should not have a stereotyped understanding of what strategy of preaching works, right? That evolves depending on the maturity of the preacher experience. Definitely we should be under the guidance of some mature authorities. However, what works when, we can't say. So it takes a lot of intelligence. So once one disciple asked the Prabhupada, so Prabhupada, in so and so context, you mentioned not to change that system because Acharyas have given us, Goswamis have given us. And here you have changed this. Right? Then Prabhupada said, that is also correct, this is also correct. Then he said, the disciple asked, how do we understand whether we are making an adjustment to connect people to Krishna consciousness, or are we compromising on the teachings of our previous Acharyas? Prabhupada closed his eyes, meditated for a while, and just said, that requires little intelligence. And that intelligence comes from Krishna. Vadami buddhi yogam tam. Right? And results will reveal how effective is that strategy. Right? So these are certain finer things. So duty of Maya is to place so many impediments in the life of Krishna conscious devotees. So Maya's expertise is that. So that way devotees also sometimes seem to be falling into the clutches of Maya because of that. Maya is very alert. But the duty of devotees is not to lose focus. Right? Have the determination. Because other references. Just 3 days back we were discussing how little inattention could cause a lot of havoc. Padanti vishvam kavayasmanashvaram pasyanti chadhyatma vidho vipashtitaha tathapi muhiyanti tavajamayaya suvismitam krutyam ajamnato smitam tathapi muhiyanti. Although they are experienced learned scholars and preachers who can convince other people of the futility of this material existence, still they can also be deviated from the path of righteousness, path of devotion, because Lord's Maya is so powerful. So Prabhupada writes about the duties of devotees and the alertness of Maya in this purport. Now, 12th verse is an explanation of the second allegorical point.
Eka eveshwarasturyo
Bhagavan svashraya paraha tamadrashtva bhavam pumsaha kima satkarma bhirbhavet.
Narad Muni had said that there is a kingdom where there is only one male. Harishwas realized the purport of this statement. Only enjoyer is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who observes everything everywhere. He is full of 6 opulences and fully independent of everyone else. He is never subject to 3 modes of material nature, for he is always transcendental to this material creation. If the members of human society do not understand him, the Supreme, though their advancement in knowledge and activities, through their advancement of knowledge and activities, but simply work very hard like cats and dogs all day and night for temporary happiness, what will be the benefit of their activity?
Kima sat karma bhir bhavet, basically what is the use of temporary fruitive activities? But in different verses, we see from the translations, that is slightly changed. What is the use of engaging in fruitive activities? The specific detail of its presentation changed slightly. Prabhupada here he says, what is the use of simply working hard like cats and dogs all day and night for temporary happiness. So cats and dogs day and night are not there in the verse, but that's what is the intention of the verse. Prabhupada brings out that effect. So what is the benefit of their activities? Here the verse suggests that one should surrender unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One should understand the Supreme Lord. The human being's duty is to make an endeavor to understand Krishna. Eka eveshvara sturyo bhagavan svashrayah paraha tam adrishtavanta abhavam pumsaha. Without understanding Krishna, just by engaging in fruitive activities, what you will gain? There is nothing to gain. Focus on understanding the absolute truth. That's what first canto, second chapter, a series of verses also say. Jivasya tattva jignasa vadanti tattva vajas tattvam vijnana madvayam brahmeti paramatmeti bhagavani tihipdate. Just before vadanti tattvam, there is one beautiful verse. 1.2.10, what is the verse? 1.2.11 is this one, brahmeti paramatmeti. 1.2.10. Kamasya nindriya pritihi jivasya tattva jignasa. So we should not be unnecessarily involved in indriya priti, but tattva jignasa. Something similar what is mentioned in this verse only. Tattva jignasa, understand the tattva of the Supreme Lord. What is the use of engaging in indriya priti? Same, the purport of both verses is same. So complete spiritual world and cosmic manifestation has only one proprietor, one enjoyer, that is Krishna. So he is beyond the material manifestation, that's why he is described to be Turya. Eka eva Ishvaraha Turyaha. So there are four stages of existence: Jagrati, Swapna, Sushupti and Turya. So Jagrati is wake up state, gross conditioned state, then Swapna is subtle state where one can see some dreams. Sushupti is very deep sleep, right? It's like shutdown mode. Then fourth stage is Turiya or Vishuddha Sattva, one who is on the complete spiritual platform. So Lord belongs to that Turiya stage, right? It is different from the other stages. So Abhava means he does not take birth like the other living entities. Bhutta Bhutta Praliyate, living entities are Bhutta Bhutta Praliyate, but Lord is not like that. So karmanyani hasya bhavo bhavasyate durgashrayo thari bhayat palayanam. Bhavo bhavasyate, although he is abhava, he takes birth. Same thing Kunti Maharani also says. So abhavam means, another meaning is there. Abhavam means one who does not take birth. Abhayam also means by whom this bhava does not exist. Bhava means material existence. Abhavam means one who makes this bhava vanquish for his devotees. If one takes shelter of that Lord, for him bhava is gone, material existence is no more existent for him. So not seeing the Lord means not perceiving him through worship. One should therefore worship him. So two allegorical points we have seen. You have not seen the extremities of earth means you have not seen the, you have not understood how this material body functions. Second point is there is one male king in the kingdom there. So that means there is one Supreme Personality of Godhead who is the Lord of this universe. So you have not understood him. Third point is about the hole, Patala. Once you enter that hole, you will not come out. So that hole refers to either Patala or the spiritual world. That is mentioned in the 13th verse.
Pumannaivaiti yat gatva
Bila swargam gato yatham
Pratyadhama
vida
iha
Kima satkarma
bhir bhavet.
Narathani had described that there is a bill or hole from which, having entered, one does not return. Hariyashwas understood the meaning of this allegory. Hardly once has a person who has entered the lower planetary system called Patal been seen to return. Similarly, if one enters the Vaikuntha Dham, Pratyak Dham, he does not return to this material world. If there is such a place from which, having gone, one does not return to miserable material condition of life, what is the use of jumping like monkeys in the temporary material world and not seeing or understanding that place? What will be the benefit?
So Prabhupada, to explain that kimasat karma virbhavet, he used cats and dogs in the previous verse. Now he is using monkeys. So he says the nature of the spiritual world is that yadgatvana nivartante tadhama paramam mama. Krishna defines like that. Once you go there, you don't have to come back. So the most important characteristic of spiritual world is there is no envy there. Taravatani Bhratasarasa Chakravaka, we have discussed several examples. And there is a constant glorification of Krishna going on there. No envy, only Krishna Katha, Krishna service. So, how to go there? Understanding the activities of the Lord. How to go there? You can refer to the previous verse. Previous verse says, understand the Supreme Lord. Give up these fruitive activities. So, that is the qualification of entering this hole. Right? Understanding means janma karma cha me divyam evam yo vetti tattvatah kyatva deham punarjanma naiti mamaiti surjuna. If one understands the activities and appearances of the Supreme Lord in truth, then he will not come back to this material world. He will go back to the spiritual world. Here nobody comes back is mentioned in the sense that it's very difficult to come out. For example, sometimes demigods are described as immortal. That does not mean they will not die. Kshine punya martilokam vishanti is also mentioned. So compared to the life tenure in the earthly planets, their life span is very huge. You can consider them almost immortal. So once you go to the lower planetary systems, it's very difficult to come out. That does not mean they will perpetually live in hell, judgment day. Right? So this judgment day will come. Some living entities will go to heaven, some living entities will go to hell. Perpetually, for the rest of eternity, they will be in hell only. That is not Krishna's system at all. Bhutta bhutta praliyate. Krishna's system is, he is so filled with mercy. He wants to give unlimited opportunities for the conditioned souls to rectify their rebellious mentality, and he will patiently wait. So, in the sense in which it is said is, it's very difficult to come out. That's it, my understanding at least. Someone wants to add anything? Huh? Is correct? Okay. Parampara. Matching. So what was the first prayer of Prithu Maharaj? I want the verse. He got the right word. Keyword he got. But I want the verse, full verse. Varan vibhavata dvaradeshwarad buddha katham vrinite guna vikri atmanam ye narakanam apisanti dehenam tanisha kaivalya pate vrinemacha. Prabhupada writes in that purport, even the verse itself says that whatever may be the geographical location in the entire cosmos, as long as that location is in the material world, it is as good as hell for a devotee. Right? So in that sense, whether it is Bila or Bila Swarga, it is as good as Naraka only. That way. And in fact, Bila Swarga, because there is a lot of opulence there, lot of enjoyment there, you may not want to come out only. That way it is perfectly matching this definition. You are getting addicted to that hellish, so-called heavenly sense enjoyment there. One may not get an inclination to come out of it that way. So something needs to be taken literally. Something we need to read between lines to get the right understanding of it. We can't just go by the only word, the face of the words only. But there is an inner meaning that acharyas will bring out. So one's real concern should be to free oneself from the repetition of birth and death. and attain topmost perfection of life by living with Supreme King in the spiritual world. Mamupetya Panarjanma, then Puman Naivaiti Yadgatva, he does not attend to the material world. Prabhupada quotes several connected verses, at least four verses he quoted in this purport. Next allegorical point is unsteady intelligence. That is compared to prostitute. Or prostitutes, it is compared to unsteady intelligence. 14th verse.
Nanarupatamo buddhihim. Nanarupatmano buddhihim. Svairiniva gunanvita. Tannishtham agatasyeha. Kima satkarma bhirbhavet.
Narad Muni had described a woman who is a professional prostitute. The Harishwas understood the identity of this woman. Mixed with the mode of passion, the unsteady intelligence of every living entity is like a prostitute who changes dresses just to attract one's attention. If one fully engages in temporary fruitive activities, not understanding how this is taking place, what does he actually gain?
So there are three types of women in the Atala planet. You must have recently studied Svairini, Kamini and Kumschali. So Svairini means she likes to marry so many men from one own group. Kamini means they marry men from any group. Kumschali means they change husbands one after another. So like that. So these are all examples of unchaste women. So, a human being's intelligence that does not surrender to Krishna is compared to a prostitute who just changes dresses to attract more and more men. Right? So, Prabhupada writes here, in today's fashion, many women just try to draw the attention of opposite sex. And intelligence of living entity who does not turn to Krishna is like a prostitute. One should be intelligently conscious in such a way that he need no longer change bodies. So, prostitute is compared to unsteady intelligence. What is steady intelligence? Steady intelligence means one-pointed determination to just serve Krishna, just to finish one's tenure of material existence and do not take birth again in this material existence, right? But go back to Godhead and do the needful to achieve such an end. That is steady intelligence, one-pointed intelligence, right? Ekeha Kurunandanaha. Now, in this context, this is the explanation. However, devotee does not hesitate to come back to this material world also. That's another higher understanding, right? So, we need to bring all of them together. So, devotee, earlier we said, even Sarga is also like Naraka only, whatever geographical location may be there in the entire cosmic manifestation, it is as good as Naraka only. But for a devotee, Kaivalyam Narakayate Tadeshapu Rakasha Pushpayate Durdantindriya Kala Sarpa Patali Proptaha Damshtrayate Vishwam Purna Sukhayate Vidhimahendra Dishchatitayate. Wherever he goes into Vishwam, in any geographical location in the Vishwam, it is full of pleasure for him. In the material cosmos also, because he is dedicated to Krishna. Svargapavarga narakeshu apituliyartha darshinaha. A devotee does not discriminate between hell or heaven because he is absorbed in Krishna. So that understanding is also there. So we need to put all of them to get a complete picture over you. That making sense? So here also, one should be intelligently conscious in such a way that he need no longer change bodies. However, a higher understanding is no need to be afraid of changing bodies also. Devotee does not even desire for transmigration. He just desires to perform bhakti. Mama janmani janmani ishvare bhavata bhakti rahitu gitoye. Right? So different, while reading Bhagavatam, we get all these understandings. And when we present to different people, we choose what to present. How much to present. We may not be able to present Mama Janmani Janmanishwara in the right thing. Maybe this is a better way to do it. Something like that. Or someone who is not yet ready for this statement also, we may present or live life nicely in this life only with alignment to dharma, etc. etc. Like that. So Prabhupada writes that karmis change professions and Krishna conscious person does not do that. His only profession is to attract Krishna's attention. Now people change dresses to attract the attention of opposite sex. But in Krishna consciousness movement, fashionable persons are taught to adopt one fashion, one hairstyle, one dressing style. Dress of a Vaishnava with a shaved head and tilak. Always be clean in mind, dress and eating in order to be fixed in Krishna consciousness. So a lot of discussion about dressing styles etc. is given here. So we had all these kinds of propensities to wear nice dresses, colorful dresses etc. But those propensities can be fulfilled by seeing the deities in beautiful dresses. So this is our sense gratification within a bona fide way of enjoying you know, different dresses is by offering them to the deities. Next, one should not waste his valuable time in frivolous activities. One should always be fixed in Krishna consciousness and take the cure of devotional service with firm determination. Okay, next, 15th verse. Krishna Chakravarti Thakur adds a comment. What is the use of insubstantial karmas performed by a person who does not consider or know the intelligence's attraction for beneficial or detrimental objects? By discrimination, one should place one's intelligence in Krishna only. That is Krishna Chakravarti Thakur. 15th verse. Tatsanga Barham Shitaishwaryam.
Tatsanga Barham
Tatsanga Bhavishitaishwaryam
Tatsanga Bhavishitaishwaryam
Samsrantam Kubhayaryavat
Samsrantam
Kubhayaryavat Samsrantam Kubhayaryavat
Samsrantam Kubhayaryavat
Tadgatir Abhudhasyeha
Tadgatir Abhudhasyeha
Kima Satkarma Bhir Bhavet
Narad Muni had also spoken of a man who is the husband of the prostitute. The Harishwas understood this as follows. If one becomes the husband of a prostitute, he loses all his independence. Similarly, if a living entity has polluted intelligence, he prolongs his materialistic life. Frustrated by material nature, he must follow the movements of the intelligence, which brings various conditions of happiness and distress. If one performs fruitive activities under such conditions, what will be the benefit?
So a prostitute's husband cannot be peaceful, either in his attempts to protect his wife from all these paramours or to protect himself from those paramours. He has to be constantly in anxiety. So paramours will come and exploit the wife, that is his tension. Or if the wife is also favorable to the paramours too much, then they will come and kill the husband. So he has to protect. So, living entities' intelligence is also like that. So, material intelligence will constantly distract the living entity from devotional service. And sometimes he himself wants to engage in devotional service, but the material intelligence is not allowing him to do it. Yeah. Or sometimes he gets attracted to the material intelligence's functionings and want to pursue sense gratification and get distracted from spiritual consciousness. So Prabhupada writes, Vyavasayatmika Buddhir, those who are actually serious are conducted by one kind of intelligence, that is intelligence in Krishna consciousness. But other people are Bahushaka Hyanantasya. A prostitute's husband cannot be happy. Similarly, one who follows the dictations of material intelligence and material consciousness will never be happy. So nityam dadati kamasya chidram tam anuyerayaha yoginah kritamavityasya pratyur jayeva pumshchali. So nityam dadati kamasya, constantly the mind is meditating on sense gratificatory things, right? An unchaste woman is easily carried away by paramours, and it sometimes happens that her husband is violently killed by paramours. So if yogi gives mind a chance and does not restrain it, then his mind will give facility to enemies like lust, greed, envy, etc. Chidram tam anuyerayaha yoginah krita maitrasya. So Prabhupada writes here, Prakritih Kriyamanani, all the one follows the dictations of material nature, he happily thinks himself master or husband of material nature. In fact, living entity is unable to control the rulings of God and is forced to associate with the prostitute of polluted intelligence and accept various material bodies. If one fully engages in temporary fruitive activities and does not solve the real problem, what profit he will gain? Kim asat karma bhir bhavet. So the solution suggested here is, problem is material, because of material intelligence you are getting distracted from your eternal happiness. So we need to engage that intelligence in the right way by utilizing in Krishna consciousness. Now another aspect, a river flowing in two directions. This is the sixth allegorical point.
Srishtyapyayakarimayam velakulantavegitam mattasyatam avignasyam kima satkarma bhirbhaveta.
Narad Muni had said that there is a river flowing in both directions. Hariyashwad understood the purport of this statement. Material nature functions in two ways, by creation and dissolution. Thus the river of material nature flows both ways. A living entity who unknowingly falls in this river is submerged in its waves. And since the current is swifter near the banks of the river, he is unable to get out. What will be the benefit of performing fruit activities in that river of Maya?
So this is actually referring to creation and dissolution. This river is the material existence. So material existence, there is constant creation and dissolution. That's what the two directions indicate. One direction is creation direction, other direction is dissolution direction. So if someone is drowning in such a, what to say, river, it's very difficult for him to come out, because another characteristic of the river is at the banks, towards the banks the flow is very fierce. Someone is in the middle of the river, he wants to come out on the bank. So he cannot come because the current is very swift there. Right? The waves towards the shore of the river are not allowing him to come to the shore only. He is constantly immersed here only, either in this direction or that direction. Sometimes he will just go floating that way. Just imagine some water. Now Yamuna is flowing in this direction, right? You just imagine another water body that we create artificially at least. So you pump the water from this side. Another, you put a tube and then pump there, right? So two kinds of directions are seen there. So someone is in the middle. Sometimes he may be getting into this direction and then he will be flowing like that. Sometimes he just do something and then he comes to this direction and then he will be flowing this side. So he will be going that way or this way, that way or this way. And he is unable to come to the bank. So that is the nature of this material existence. People are so caught up in doing creative activities or destructive activities, and they are so absorbed, they don't want to stop both of them, either this or that. Either they will do some creation or destruction, right? And they are caught up in that, then they cannot come out. So sthiti, srishti sthiti pralaya sadhana shakti reka. Man in river of nescience is tossed by waves, but the same Maya can also save him when he surrenders unto Krishna. Daivi hi esha gunamayi mamaya durutyaya. If one surrenders unto Krishna, he can get out of this Maya, functionings of this Maya, get out of this river. So he himself cannot swim and come on the shore, come on the bank of the river. But someone has to come with an helicopter, or Krishna has to come on Garuda. So you know that beautiful painting where someone is drowning in the ocean and Krishna comes in Garuda and gives hand, right? So that is the only way. That is Devi Hesha Gunamayi Mamaya Durutteya. Mameva ye prapadyante maya metam tarantite. How can the Lord protect one from this Maya? Because Maya dhyakshena prakriti suyate sacharacharam. The material nature is functioning with these two characteristics of creation and dissolution only under the superintendence of Krishna. Only the boss can protect. Right? Krishna consciousness is knowledge and austerity. A Krishna conscious person takes advantage from the Vedic literature. At the same time, he must practice austerities. So, to gain freedom from material life or the tossing waves of Maya, one must take to Krishna consciousness. If one very busily engages in so-called advancement of science, what benefit he will derive? Now, seventh allegorical point is about a house which is made of 25 elements. That is also Krishna only. 17th verse.
Panchavimshati tattvanam purushodbhuta darpanah adhyatmam abhudhasyeham kima satkarma bhirbhaveta.
Narad Muni had said that there is a house made of 25 elements. Harishwad understood this analogy. The Supreme Lord is the reservoir of the 25 elements, and as the Supreme Being, the conductor of cause and effect, He causes their manifestation. If one engages in temporary futile activities, not knowing that Supreme Person, what benefit will He derive?
So Krishna is the cause of all these 25 elements. 25, 24, 16, 7, different counts are mentioned, all are valid. So Krishna is the cause of all these elements. The science of original cause is explained in Vedic literatures. Athata brahma jignasa janmadyasya yataha next vadanti tat tatta vidaha eka desha sthita syagner. So Prabhupada quotes various verses that substantiate this principle that Krishna is the source of everything. Entire cosmic manifestation is an expansion of Krishna. Therefore, if one does not conduct research to find out the supreme cause, but instead falsely engages in frivolous temporary activities, what is the use of such activity? What is the use of demanding recognition as an important scientist or philosopher? Right? The important science is science of Krishna. The most important philosophy is philosophy of Krishna consciousness. If these two are kept aside and you are claiming that I am a scientist or I am a philosopher, what is the use? So Prabhupada just rips off. So Prabhupada appreciates the discussions amongst the saintly persons, and in the first canto, fourth chapter, Sutta Goswami and Shavanakadi Rishis, they are all discussing. Prabhupada says the only question in their mind is how to solve the unique problems faced by Kali Yuga people. They were trying to contemplate on that and asking Sutta Goswami for solutions. Kali Yuga people are manda samanda matayoha manda bhagya upadritaha. So please suggest some solution. They cannot understand the essence of scriptures. You speak the essence of scriptures. What is the ultimate good of people in general? So like that they are asking. So when such intellectuals whose intelligence is spiritual, when they meet, they contemplate for the actual spiritual welfare of people in general. But the other so-called scientists and philosophers, when they come together, they may discuss hundreds of problems. So Shyamananda Prabhu gave an example. So several years back I was hearing. So there was an anti-tobacco conference. So people are thinking, hey, tobacco is causing so much injury to health, so what to do, like that they were thinking. And in that conference, there was a cigarette break. Right, in our classes we give break, right, 15 minutes break to relax. So they have cigarette break, drinks break we have, right? So they have a cigarette break in anti-tobacco conference. So the difference between a materialistic researcher or philosopher and a spiritual seeker is that the consciousness, the conviction and their attitude. So they are not convinced about what is good for people in general. Although they are convinced that what they are discussing is not good for people in general, still they will continue the discussion and claim to be proprietors of something, or they get credits of writing papers or whatever it may be. They are convinced this is not good, but still they will continue to do research in it. Right? So this you can definitely understand, right? This will happen. They know this is not proper. This is not a right product that we should launch. It will cause so many problems to people in general. Right, it will disturb the ecological system, it will have some environmental issues. Still, they will continue to do research in that direction and launch products and allure people, and people also knowing very well that this is not very conducive for me, it's not good for me, still they will persist. So that is the nature of Kali Yuga. Nature of this material world in general, but Kali Yuga in specific. If one does not know the ultimate cause, what is the use of his scientific and philosophical research? So there are three things Prabhupada mentions here. The right way of understanding the Supreme Lord. Bhaktyamam abhijanati. Understanding is all the material elements are separated, inferior energy and living entity is Lord superior energy. That is their understanding. Experience matter and spirit soul, living force, as a combination of these two energies. They can actually experience. Matter is animating only because living entity entered the matter, and because of that consciousness things are moving. Then study, they study various facts concerning the creation, maintenance and destruction, and they seek for a permanent place where they can go and they need not return. So this house is not our real house. This house is also made of large energies only, 25 elements. But they are not interested in this house. They are interested in the main house, spiritual world. Right? So this is about the 7th allegorical point. Now 8th. Aishwaryam Shastram Utsrujyam
Bandha
Mokshanu Darshanam Vivikta Padam Ajnaya Kima Satkarma Bhirbhaveta.
Narad Muni had spoken of his swain. That swain is explained in this verse. The Vedic literatures, Shastras, vividly describe how to understand the Supreme Lord, the source of all material and spiritual energy. Indeed, they elaborately explain these two energies. The swain, Hamsa, is one who discriminates between matter and spirit, who accepts the essence of everything, and who explains the means of bondage and the means of liberation. The words of scriptures consist of variegated vibrations. If a foolish rascal leaves aside the study of these shastras to engage in the temporary activities, what would be the result?
So the speaking swan refers to shastras. Soham pranam kshulla sukhaya dukham mahadgatanam viramaya tasya pravartaye bhagavatam puranam yadaha sakshat bhagavan rishibhya. So Shastra is considered to be a speaking swan that can actually mitigate the miseries of people in general. Prabhupada is writing here about preaching in the West. Leaders of the West, Americans and Europeans, became idols of modern civilization. Entire world is imitating materialistic civilization of the West. So a sane man's vision of West is that material advancement, although perhaps very important for temporary life, have nothing to do with spiritual life, eternal life. Temporarily one may get so many comforts because of the advancement on a material plane, but eternally it's not very substantial. That material progress is not very substantial. So Prabhupada's vision of America is described in Lilamrit, second volume. In the initial chapters, Prabhupada just entered America and he was seeing all these billboards and other things. So Prabhupada says, I got an understanding of what they are aspiring for, what are their actual values, right? Their consciousness and their values are seen in these billboards. Right? Like that. So Krishna consciousness movement is very much interested in giving Western people knowledge by translating original Sanskrit Vedic literature into their languages. If one does not discuss what is important in life, one is put into darkness and must struggle for existence. What then is the benefit of his advancement in knowledge? Vivikta Padam, path of logical discourses concerning the aim of life. So what is more important, one needs to give focus there. Next, Westerners are seeing students becoming hippies despite George's arrangements for university education. But Krishna consciousness movement is trying to convert such misguided and drug addicted students to Krishna's service and engage them in best welfare activities for human society. 9th allegorical point about one rotating object. revolving object, that is time. Kala chakram bhramit tikshnam sarvam nishkarshayat jagat
satantram
abudasyeha kima satkarma bhirbhavet.
Narad Muni has spoken of a physical object made of sharp blades and thunderbolts. Harishwad understood this allegory as follows. Eternal time moves very sharply, as if made of razors and thunderbolts. Uninterrupted and fully independent, it derives the activities of the entire world. If one does not try to study the eternal element of time, what benefit can he derive from performing temporary material activities?
So, eternal time. Ayushaha kshana ekopi nalabhyaha svarna koti bhi. One cannot purchase even one moment of time in exchange of thousands and thousands of gold coins also. Prabhupada quotes Chanakya Pandit. Ayushaha kshana ekopi nalabhyaha svarna koti bhi. Koti is 10 million once a year. Nache nirarthakam nitihi kacha hanis tatodhika. So living like an animal, not understanding the goal of life, one foolishly thinks that there is no eternity and that his lifespan of 50, 60, 70 or maximum 100 years is everything. So time is eternal, and in material world one passes through different phases of his eternal life. So phases of eternal life means there is a scale of eternity, and people only experience it in phase of past, present and future, right? And that, like, just 100 years or 50, 60, 70 years of lifespan, they think this is eternal, this is permanent, right? So one is advised not to create a disaster by misusing his lifetime. One should be extremely careful to utilize the span of his life for spiritual realization. Okay, next. 10th allegorical point, which he spoke in the 9th verse. It's not like an allegorical point, but still it's not a direct thing. He said, you have not understood the meaning of your father's words. And when he said father's words, he is not referring to Daksha father, he is referring to the scripture. Scripture is the real father. Prabhupada writes an elaborate commentary on this particular verse, 20th verse. Shastrasya pituradesham
yona veda nivartakam
katham tadanu rupaya
guna vishram
hipakramet.
Narad Muni has asked how one could ignorantly defy one's own father. Harishwar understood the meaning of this question. One must accept the original instruction of the Shastras. According to Vedic civilization, one is offered a sacred thread as a sign of second birth. One takes his second birth by dint of having received instruction in the Shastra form a bona fide spiritual master. Therefore, Shastra, scripture, is the real father. All the Shastras instruct that one should end his material way of life. If one does not know the purpose of the father's order, the Shastras, he is ignorant. The words of a material father who endeavors to engage his son in material activities are not the real instructions of the father.
So scripture is the real father. We know this verse, Gurur Nasasyat, Sadhano Nasasyat, Pitana Sasyat, Janani Nasasyat. One should not take the role of any superior as a father or mother or a demigod or a guru, etc., etc. If na mocha yedyaha samupeta murtyam, if he cannot deliver his dependent from the clutches of Maya. Here, when a father is instructing you to engage in fruitive activities, he is not actually delivering you from material existence. He is throwing you in material existence. So he cannot be called the real father. So scripture is instructing us not to engage in material activities. So scripture is the real father. Right? So that is the logic here. And whatever may be the scripture of whichever religion, the common teaching of all the scriptures is kimasat karma bhir bhavet. So Prabhupada gives examples. Buddhist shastras are there. They achieve nirvana by giving up materialistic way of life. Bible is there, so there is teachings in Bible also that one should cease materialistic life and return to the kingdom of God. Vedic Shastras are there, give up materialistic life and return to original spiritual consciousness. Even Shankaracharya also says, Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya. Jagan Mithya. So Prabhupada takes the, what to say, the temporary aspect, the Jagan Mithya part, Prabhupada focuses it. He appreciates the appreciable aspect of that Jagan Mithya. Right? So Prabhupada is not supporting Jagan Mithya here. Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya. He condemned it in various purports, but in this purport what is relevant there is Kimasat Karma Bhir Bhavet. Material world or materialistic life is simply illusion. Stop illusory activities and come to Brahman platform. That's what Shankaracharya also says. Any spiritual path, it does not recommend engagement in fruitive activities. So that is the main theme of all these verses. So Gita is the essence of all Vedic knowledge. Krishna personally advises, Sarva dharman parityadya mam ekam sharanam vraja. So Sarva dharman parityadya may be spoken by different scriptures, but the additional point given by Gita is Mam Ekam Sharanam Vraja. So initiation into following Shastras. So in Krishna consciousness movement that is being done. Who can be called a father and mother? Purpose next point. If a human being is satisfied with material father and mother, there is no difference between him and animals. Because these cats and dogs also have father and mother. But human beings, they also have father and mother, but they can become dvija. Dogs cannot become dvija. They cannot have a spiritual father, right, ordinarily. Right? So only a father and mother who can elevate their son to spiritual platform are bona fide parents. Others are not. Material father and material mother are important only if they are interested in educating their son to become freed from clutches of death. So here Narada Muni's intention is, you do not incur sin by not following the instructions of Daksha, because his instructions are not for spiritual elevation. His instructions are for material engagement. So there are so many rules and regulations of how a son has to be obedient to his father. All this is, these are like Vedic standards, right? However, if the father is a materialistic person, such father can be rejected. If the father is pushing the son to engage in materialistic affairs and not in spiritual consciousness, such father can be rejected. You do not incur sin by not following the instructions of Daksha, which are not according to the purport of scriptures, since he is not a real father. Therefore, taking Vishnu mantra from me, sitting in a quiet place, worship Vishnu. That's what Narada Muni intended. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur brings out this understanding. Yes, please. So Brahmaji's order is in turn Supreme Lord's order. That's what the contextual Prabhu. Here, Daksha's consciousness and Brahma's consciousness are different. Right? So, Daksha wants to serve the Lord. And, who is that? Brahmaji wanted to serve the Lord. Daksha is also doing Lord's service only, but he has a different consciousness. Right? Now, when Priyavrata was changed from this renounced order to Grihastha life, Narada Muni did not have any issues. Brahmaji, right in front of Narada Muni, Brahmaji is converting him. Right? So Narada Muni did not say anything. There was no agitation or resentment, that was the word used. There was no resentment in Narada Muni's mind. So, here you see Daksha's attitude we will discuss more. So Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur is highlighting this point. Here, if we focus the discussion mainly on scriptures being the real father is more valuable than a materialistic father engaging you in materialistic activities, right? So that is the point. However, to perform Lord's service, there are different other parameters that needs to be considered. Kardamuni engaged in Brahmaji's service, Kardamuni was glorified like anything by Brahmaji. And who else is there? Just now you mentioned an example. Manu, Swayambhu Manu was glorified his service for his service. So Swayambhu Manu's engagement in household life is not comparable to Daksha's engagement in household life. So Daksha's engagement in household life is very much criticized by Prabhupada in the previous chapter, right? Illusion, captivated by Lord's illusory energy, he will have unlimited scope for sexual enjoyment. So all that he was said. But Swayambhu Manu's ideal household life is wonderfully described by Maitreya Muni in the 3rd canto, 21st chapter, towards the end. Manu is glorious. So Manu was leading a purely Krishna conscious grihastha life with due respects to all the renunciants. But Daksha was purely leading a household life without much respect for Narada Muni, an exalted Vaishnava. Right? So there is a lot of difference between the household life of Daksha and Swayambhu Manu or Kardama Muni or other people who assisted Brahmaji in creating the progeny. So the Krishna conscious household life is different from a puffed up materialistic Grihamedhi life which Daksha led. However, Daksha's service is bona fide. The consciousness with which he was doing the service was not up to the mark. That was not expected. Right. He was a little quite arrogant.
So, Manu followed the order of Brahma,
That is also Lord's order only. That is also Lord's order. But here, Narada Muni's desire has become little more prominent than even Krishna's order, because Krishna gives more importance to his devotees' desires or activities than his own predictions, etc. And one more point we can definitely see is Lord's prediction also did not become completely untrue. Because ultimately, Daksha's children, he did not say Daksha's sons, Daksha's children, 60 daughters he produced. So the 60 daughters actually increased the population of the universe, no doubt about it. However, the number also is mentioned, hundreds and thousands. But there were only 60, they are not hundreds and thousands. So in one sense, Lord's prediction came true in the form of Daksha's daughters. In another sense, Lord's prediction did not come true because 11,000 sons became renunciants. So that is there. But Lord's blessings upon Daksha is just official. Official blessings he got. He did the austerities, he wants to engage in service. It's like office duty only. It's not a heartfelt, sincere blessing. Because when Lord gives a heartfelt, sincere blessing, devotee will develop prema. But Daksha did not develop prema, he developed more offensive attitude to another Vaishnava. And why he has developed such an offensive attitude and blasphemous attitude towards Narada Muni, all this is because of his traces of offenses that he has committed to Shiva in his previous life. So once, if one offends an exalted Vaishnava, if he maintains envious attitude and malicious intentions towards a Vaishnava, that will not leave that person in the next birth also, over many Manvantras also. That happened in Swayambhu Manvantara. And now this is Chakshusa Manvantara. First Manvantara to sixth Manvantara. One offense he committed to Shiva in first Manvantara. In the sixth Manvantara also, he is getting some reaction. Right. So Daksha's case is little different. And what exactly happened to Daksha beyond this 60 daughters? Nowhere in Bhagavatam it is discussed. I don't know, we need to see some other Puranas where what happened to Daksha later in the second birth. 6.6 is ending of Daksha's episode, at least within Bhagavatam. I didn't read anything about Daksha beyond this. Anyone knows anything? So Bhagavatam is highlighting the principles and Acharyas are extracting principles. Some are very generic, some are very contextual. So we need to balance them by seeing an overall picture. Here kimasat karma bhir bhavayati is like very elaborately explained. Lot of emphasis is given to that. However, we need to understand the complete picture from other purports also. That makes sense. So this is purely contextual. But Karma Muni's household life is glorified. Lord was pleased. Lord was shedding a drop of tear that found Bindu Sarovara, seeing the devotion of Karma Muni, seeing his obedience towards his father. So Lord appreciated the obedience of all the Prachetas towards their father, Prachinabarhi. So surrender to an authority and submissiveness to one's father's orders is very much appreciated by the Lord and the devotees. That those references are there in Bhagavatam. So here the context is like he is instructing you to engage in materialistic activities. How can you accept that? Take to the renounced order. So you can just apply to see within the frame of this context. If you take out this instruction and then put in some other context, it may not completely suit, completely match. Okay. Any more insights, Prabhu? I am just sharing my understanding.
Can you get qualification also?
As beginning you are telling that they were already pure hearted, they were already performing austerities. So it is not that somebody can be made renounced or somebody can be made aggressive. They also have propensities. And as you mentioned in the beginning that here only, in the previous class we are hearing that Lord looks rapt attention.
Here only,
yeah.
Beginning,
yeah. So somebody can be having rapt attention in the renounce order. Somebody can have rapt attention in the aggressive order also. The qualification of candidate also plays a role as you are explaining. Like four Kumaras, they were naturally having that feeling. So they renounced. And Swayambhuvan who came out after some time and Rudra came, then four Kumaras, Rudra. So all the Brahmaji desire was same, order was same, I mean, that end is same, Brahmaji, his order, his desire, Lord's desire. But then the candidates being different, they may choose as per their adhikar and Lord is pleased with
it. Correct.
Ultimately.
Thank you. And Prabhupada writes here, Krishna consciousness movement is teaching this higher knowledge of retiring from materialistic life. So parents and businessmen are dissatisfied because we teach our students to abandon four forbidden activities. Right? So parents are dissatisfied because children are not marrying, and businessmen are dissatisfied because we are banning their products. Right? No wine. No intoxicants, no cigarettes, etc., etc., no slaughterhouse products. However, we have no alternative than to teach our disciples to free themselves from this materialistic life. We must instruct them in the opposite of material life to save them from the repetition of birth and death. Just because businessmen are dissatisfied, just because the parents are dissatisfied, we cannot stop, we cannot alter our teachings. So Prabhupada is very conviction. So Narada advised Harishwas that instead of begetting progeny, it would be better to live and achieve perfection of spiritual understanding according to the instructions of Shastras. So importance of Shastras is Yas Shastra Mithudya Vartate Kama Karataha. So next 21st verse. Itivyavasita Rajan Harishwa Eka Chetasaha Pravayustam parikramyam Panthanam anivartanam.
Shukadeva Goswami continued, my dear king, after hearing the instructions of Narada, the Harishwas, the sons of Prajapati Daksha, were firmly convinced. They all believed in his instructions and reached the same conclusion. Having accepted him as their spiritual master, they circumambulated that great sage and follow the path by which one never returns to this world.
So they accepted Narada Muni as guru. They all came to the same conclusion. So Prabhupada gives some brilliant points about initiation, duties of a disciple and duties of spiritual master. in this verse, in this purport. Spiritual master never instructs his disciple to take mantra, pay money and become expert in materialistic life. He instructs him to relieve oneself from materialistic life, and the disciple's duty is to assimilate such instructions and ultimately go back to Godhead. So one should never endeavor to wander in different planetary systems within the universe. Because wherever he goes, Kshine Punya Martya Lokam Vishanti, Abrahma Bhavana Loka Panaravartin Arjuna, he has to come back to these lower planets, and also there is misery everywhere. And circumambulating actually means they accepted Narada Muni as Guru and drank his foot water and offered full obeisances. So next verse.
Swarabrahmani
Nirdhatam
Rishikeshapadambuje
Akhandam
Chittamaveshyam
Lokan
Anucharan
Munihi.
The seven musical notes Sa Re Ga Ma Pa Da Ni and Ni are used in musical instruments, but originally they came from the Sam Ved. The great sage Narada vibrates sounds describing the pastimes of the Supreme Lord by such transcendental vibrations such as Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. He fixes his mind at the lotus feet of the Lord. Thus he directly perceives Rishikesh, the master of the senses. After delivering the Hariyashwa, Narad Muni continued travelling throughout the planetary system. His mind always fixed at the lotus feet of the Lord.
After enlightening Hariyashwas, he is continuing with his bhajan. So Narada Muni always chants about the pastimes of the Lord and delivers fallen souls in this material world. Prabhupada writes this big bhajan there, Narada Muni Bhajai Vina Radhika Ramana Nami. So now Narada Muni is inspiring so many people in Krishna consciousness. He is instructing them to take to bhakti because he himself is relishing that activity. Several places in Bhagavatam also, Narada Muni's glorification of Krishna is just mentioned in couple of verses. So Narada Muni enlightened so and so person, and then he moved, vibrating his veena, Swarabrahmani, so like that. So here we need to understand that because Narada Muni is so absorbed in his Krishna consciousness, he has that much enthusiasm to inspire others in Krishna consciousness. So the best way of inspiring people to come to the path of Krishna consciousness is by oneself accepting it nicely. His Grace Radhesham Prabhu gave a beautiful class in the GBC college sessions last time. So the theme is that only. Whatever we are discussing now, that the best way of leading people, this is like a college of leadership, and the best way leader is one who leads people by himself following, by himself relishing Krishna Katha, relishing Bhagavatam, relishing the holy name, relishing the festivals, relishing the worship of the Lord, relishing preaching. So if he himself has the attitude of relishing all the devotional activities, then he can lead other people also to take up to the path nicely. So Narada Muni is a very wonderful example. So following in footsteps of Narada Muni means Brahma, Narada, Vyasa, Madhva, these are sampradaya. So members of this parampara should follow in Narada Muni's footsteps and go everywhere to deliver fallen souls by vibrating Hare Krishna and instructions of Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam and Chaitanya Charitamrita. So the immediate representative of Narada Muni is spiritual master. There is no difference between the instructions of Narada Muni and Guru. Both Narada and present spiritual master speak the same teachings of Krishna. What are the teachings? Sarvadharmayan Parityudya, Manmana Abhava Madbhakto, all this. So these are some thoughts Prabhupada shares. Okay, 1:30, we will stop. So we'll continue this chapter about Shavalashvas and other things in the evening. Thank you, Hare Krishna. And we can complete 6th chapter also. It's very small chapter, 15-20 minutes. You can complete. It's only the names of the 60 daughters.